The following program represents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork.
Hi, everyone. This is Jerry with the 5H Show. 5H is health, harmony, happiness, humor, and humanity. And thank you for listening to WMRW. We really appreciate it. Our wonderful radio station here at the East Warren Community Market, second floor. We also have a community space that you can use, you can rent. Nonprofits get to use it for free, and it's really cool. And if you haven't been up here, I suggest you come visit us. See the radio station and the community space and the wonderful market downstairs. And today, I have a special guest. Her name is Pam Ladd. She'll be calling in. She lives in Newport, so it's a little bit of a hike to come. Maybe she'll make it one of these days, but today we're going to do a call-in. And she's calling in as a representative of an organization called DUMP, D-U-M-P. And I'm going to let her talk more about it when she does call in. Before we get started, you know what? The weather is right in front of me, so I thought, I never do this, but I'll do a weather report. And it's really fun to do a weather report on a day like today. Mostly sunny, high near 77, west wind 11 to 14 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 44, perfect sleeping weather. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 74, light west wind. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it, for a holiday weekend? I'd also like to tell you that we have some underwriters who support our station. Without them, we probably wouldn't be alive today. And I just wanted to mention a couple of them. Mountainside Ski Service, ski rentals, demos, tunings, and custom boot fittings since 1995. Located in the Sugarbush Village, just across the Chez Henri Bridge, and just past the daycare on the left. You can reach Mountainside Ski Service at 802-583-9299 or access them online at mountainsideski.com. And we also have Darod Services, specializing in warranted, used Macintosh and PC computers since 1992. They also do new computers. You can reach Darod Services by calling 802-496-2772. So it's really helpful if you guys will all support our underwriters, and because they support our station. So Pam Ladd is going to be calling in a couple of minutes, and we're going to be talking about something that I just recently learned about, having met her a few weeks ago at the State House. And she started telling me about the garbage situation in our state, which I am sorry to say I knew absolutely nothing about. You know, we all tend to throw our garbage in the can and put the can, however we do it, take it to the end of our driveway, and some mysterious entity whisks it away, and then we fill it up again and do the same thing next week. Or we drive it to the transfer station. There's one here in town, and they do the same thing, whisk it away. And what exactly happens to all that garbage? It's interesting. And it's really interesting what's going on in the state of Vermont. I was really surprised at some of the things that Pam filled me in on. And when I looked up her organization, DUMP's website, all the information that's there, they have a website and they have a Facebook page, and you can get a lot of information about it. If you're interested, and I think by the end of the show, by the end of our conversation, you will be, because it's scary stuff. But then again, once we get involved, it makes it a lot less scary, because people can really make a difference. I found that out once we first of all get educated and learn what's going on. And it's always good to look at all sides of an issue and then make a decision as to whether you want to get involved, and then get involved. And we all can make a difference. We the people can make a difference. So Pam should be calling in any minute now. What I'll start to talk about is her organization, DUMP. It's the D-U-M-P stands for Don't Undermine Memphremagogue's Purity. And they're working to restore and protect the international waters of Lake Memphremagog and its watershed. And I hope I'm saying that right. It might be Memphremagog. I'm never sure exactly how to pronounce it, even though I've been there a couple of times. But sometimes however you pronounce it is the right way to do it. And there's Pam, who can give us a lot more details. And I will be right back. Okay, Pam, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're on the air at WMRW, and I was just giving a little bit of a explanation about your organization that you belong to, DUMP.
And I'm not part of that organization.
Oh, wow, I got the first thing wrong.
I'm a peripheral member, but that's an organization on its own. I am not speaking as a DUMP member or for DUMP or anything else to do with DUMP.
Okay. Okay, you're just speaking as a citizen.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, well, you know what I thought we'd start with, because I was so surprised when I found out from you, I believe, that what the garbage situation is in the state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And where there is, if you want to talk a little bit about the landfill situation.
Right. And let's back up.
Okay.
There used to be many small landfills in New York, in Vermont. They were in communities. Each community basically had its own and took responsibility for handling their own garbage. And then as people moved into those communities, they made decisions around, do we really want a landfill here? Do we want a pit that stinks? And of course, nobody in their right mind was going to say, sure, bring it on. What they said was, no thanks, we really don't want this. And particularly when it got bigger and smellier and more difficult to manage. So each community, in turn, tried to get rid of their landfill, and people like us, activists, mobilized and said, we really don't want this here, without ever asking, where does it go next? If it doesn't stay here, where does it go? Because I think we assumed that there would always be a place for it to go. Well, there is a place for it to go, and now this state is down to just one landfill, because as the smaller landfills that were owned by the municipalities closed, there was an opportunistic corporation that moved right on in. They had the vision to see that there was money to be made from garbage, and there is a lot of money.
Mm.
So gradually they found a great location for them up in Coventry, and where most private corporations go who are into the garbage business is into a community where there are no zoning regulations. Most communities that have zoning regulations would not be willing or able to permit a landfill for obvious reasons, because nobody wants one. So they came up to Coventry. And if you look at landfills in other states, you'll see that this corporation and many others, they're not the only ones, have looked for communities where there's no zoning, where they can carry on what they do without anybody interfering.
So Coventry has no zoning at all?
No. And
wow.
More than most communities in rural America.
Well, I know, like, where we are. In fact, from the radio station here, I can almost see Dump Road. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be a dump there, and that's how it got called Dump Road, but there isn't anymore.
Yeah, imagine that.
But it's been gone. I've been here 20 years, and it's never been here as long as I've lived here, and we're a pretty small community. I don't know what the zoning regulations are, but I'm thinking we do have some. But
you might want to check on that.
Huh. Interesting.
Because it has major implications for development in your area in the future.
Yeah.
We can't assume anything about zoning, what there is and what there isn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of small communities see no reason for zoning. And, you know, it's not the Vermont or New Hampshire way. It's don't tell me what to do with my own property. So if somebody chooses to sell a chunk of their land, to a developer or to a landfill operation or to anything else, that can happen.
But you started by saying a lot of the landfills that were in the state of Vermont closed, and was that from citizen pressure? It wasn't from regulation?
Yes, little groups of activists, as I said at the beginning, like you and I.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we were living in a community where there was a small, smelly landfill, wouldn't we be pressurizing the town to close it? Because who wants that in their backyard or their front yard? And particularly as we know more and more about what goes into the landfills, as we know more and more about what happens when as stuff rots down and rain hits it, there's a substance called leachate that is basically garbage juice. It's incredibly toxic, and that gets into groundwater. Many of the old landfills didn't have liners. Newer landfills have liners, double liners, but they're a form of plastic, some of which leak other chemicals into the leachate, and none of them are going to stay intact forever. I mean, the hope from a landfill is that the double liner will last long enough for the life of the active landfill, and then once they're long gone, who cares?
Well, I guess I'm wondering.
They don't have to be responsible for it.
Yeah. I guess I'm wondering, too, if they collect the stuff, then what? I mean, it just sits there?
Oh, no. We're talking millions and millions of gallons of toxic liquid. What used to happen to the landfill up here and the leachate was that it went to the city of Newport.
Through the city?
Then ran it through their wastewater treatment facility, which couldn't even begin to remove a lot of the chemicals, and then it went straight into Lake Memphremagog.
Wow.
Where it goes now, I was part of a group that fought to get that changed. There is a moratorium on discharging into Lake Memphremagog, fortunately for us, but that can't last forever. And where it goes now is either to Plattsburgh, where it runs straight into Lake Champlain, or it goes to Montpelier, where it goes through their wastewater treatment facility, which also can't treat it for forever chemicals like the PFAS chemicals. And then it goes into the Winooski River, and it moseys its way down until it goes into Lake Champlain.
Wait, you know, I just want to get the logistics clear here. So the garbage from all over the state of Vermont gets put into a facility, and then it gets switched from the facility into trucks. So, like, if you're in Bennington, your garbage would get to the facility, and then it goes into all the trucks, and then it gets trucked the 200 miles up through Vermont to Coventry, because Coventry is the only landfill in the state. Correct?
Correct.
And then...
You're following along perfectly.
Oh, it's just such a bizarre story. And then you
it
have...
It gets better. And the piece that needs to be factored into that is you've probably seen the trucks. They're those great big juggernauts with MBI on the front.
Yeah, you know, I hate to admit it, but I never thought to think about what it was. You know?
Yep. But now you do. And tons and tons of garbage goes into those, and they trundle their way up our roads, our small country roads, because the throughway is not much help to them. And even then, they do a lot of damage. They're heavy, they're polluting, they're great big gas guzzlers, and they're blowing out that whichever community they go. They trash the roads on the way up here. Then they dump their load in our landfill, Coventry landfill, and then they trundle their way back down to wherever they came from and start all over again.
Is this done on a daily basis or weekly?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. But then...
And, you know, we offer to give people a tour of this. I mean, you can have a tour of the landfill and you can be impressed or not, whatever. But it's really worth having a tour of the area, looking at our roads, being in Irisburg, for example, early in the morning, and watch these juggernauts thundering through this small town. It's a village. It's not built to cater for trucks like that.
Wow.
And then it goes to the next town and the next town. And then you can watch it unload. You can sit outside the Casella facility, News VT, Northeast Waste, whatever.
Oh, facility. That's it. I was wondering where they got that name from. So the landfill is called,
Northeast Waste. Something. I'm totally blocking on what it is.
Maybe system.
So I can get that for you. I will remember that as we keep talking. And it gets dropped off there. And you watch it. You can watch it go up the hill because the towers, the great big towers where all of this stuff gets offloaded, they're mountains. We call it Mount Rushmore for a reason. I'm not exaggerating.
And it's literally mountains of garbage, basically.
Yeah. And there's several of them.
Yeah, I saw the picture. I mean, you can see it's like the backdrop of the lake.
That's what's so scary. It is the backdrop for the lake.
Yeah.
And all we need is something like Tropical Storm Irene to happen again right over us. And the risk truly is of that falling down. Landfill landslides are not uncommon. And it's not that they intend to do that. And they really don't. I mean, they don't want to bury us all in their mountain of trash.
Yeah.
But that's a realistic risk. If that comes into the lake, Lake Memphremagog, we're in big trouble. New England Waste Services of Vermont, News VT is what it stands for. I knew I'd
Services.
Come back with it.
Okay, yeah.
It's the risk to our lake, because if you look at a map of the landfill, the Black River literally goes around it. Anything that's leaking from the landfill will trickle its way into the Black River, which will then trickle its way into the lake. The lake is shared. It's an international lake. It is shared between Vermont and Quebec. Mm-hmm. A quarter of it belongs to Vermont. Three quarters belongs to Quebec. It is a reservoir, a drinking water reservoir for Sherbrooke. Approximately 175,000 people, the population of that area, drink from the lake. And running it through a filtration system isn't enough.
It doesn't remove the toxins, is that correct?
It doesn't remove a lot of things. And here's the scary part. We don't know what we don't know.
No.
So we worried decades ago about what went into the lake. Oh, you know, there were heavy metals, there were other things, there were organisms. We knew we could treat some of them with Clorox or the equivalent bleach. There was other stuff we thought we couldn't, but we truly believed then that dilution was the solution to pollution. It's not. The PFAS chemicals, and that's an enormous family of forever chemicals. And then there's plastics and a whole ton of other stuff. Does not dilute. It doesn't dissolve.
Where do PFAS come from? Why do we have them?
They're artificial chemicals. They were invented by DuPont and 3M. They waterproof. They do an amazing job at waterproofing. So any clothes that you have that are waterproof, or rain repellent, or where you want that little extra bit of glide, those are chemicals that the chemical companies have generated, and they have now added them to almost everything. And the tragedy here is they've known this for 50 years, how toxic they were.
Wow. I know there's been a lot of chatter lately about PFAS.
It's put in firefighting foam. So firefighters were told that the foam was perfectly safe. So they used it for events. I mean, they didn't just use it to put out fires, which it does very effectively. They used it to play with kids. When they gave kids trips around their facility, they let them play in a pit of foam. They got covered in it, part of the rituals for inducting trainees into firehouses were to roll them around in this stuff. Poison.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And you can find websites. I sent you a couple of links of Facebook groups, but there's hundreds more of the damage that's been done. The military has massive pits of PFAS toxic stuff, for the want of a better word, that had leached into the water. All the military sites, just Google it, and you will be horrified at what pops up.
Wow.
We're crazy. We are so crazy as a species. Even substance, dental floss, your dental floss that you want to glide through your teeth because it makes it so much easier to floss, how do you think it glides? Welcome to your daily dose of PFAS.
Wow. Wait, back
yeah. Are you scared yet?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So, you know what was really sad? And you and I met in Montpelier.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and it was the first time that you'd heard that there was only one landfill.
Yeah. I was shocked.
There were several of the representatives who sort of intellectually knew that there was only one landfill, but not in reality. It didn't dawn on them that every bag of garbage they put outside their door was coming up to the Northeast Kingdom. They truly didn't get it. And we, as people up here, think that we have spent so much time and energy trying to educate people about what's in their garbage, where it goes, what it means, certainly what it means to us, and it still doesn't compute. What on earth can we do to get people's attention to that we all know how we're being poisoned? One of the representatives, and I won't name him, because basically he's a good person, when he heard me speak, and then he said afterwards, well, it's got to go somewhere. Yeah? How about your front yard? How about we dig a little pit just outside your house and deliver it all there? Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, I really do want to get it.
But that's what we have. We have the odors. We have our roads trashed. We have our air trashed because this all off gases. I mean, you can see it. And we have the risk to our water, our lake.
Not only that, you have a steady stream of trucks going in and out of town. Like
we do
all day, every day, apparently.
We
right?
do. And, you know, when we talk to the states, the Department, the Agency of Natural Resources, ANR, who are the permitting people for this, they just sort of look blankly at us. So we go to every possible meeting that we can to say, this is what you're doing. This is why it's not okay. And they just shrug.
Yeah.
And recently, what they have done is just outrageous. You may have read something about a pre-treatment facility up at the landfill, which is an idea, and it's only an idea, a concept, to run leachate through a pre-treatment, a series of filters, to filter out PFAS, to gather it, put it into blocks, and then quote, get rid of it, which in practical terms means chuck it back into the landfill. Oh, another brilliant idea.
Are you serious? That's
I kid you not. Yeah. There were several.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, because you can't believe that anything this insane could be happening. So there were several hearings. A lot of people attended them. A lot of people called in. A lot of us wrote comments. We knew we were blowing smoke into the wind because the state has nothing else to offer. So they were going to let Casella News VT do this. They were going to let them, but they had to permit every step along the way. So the next thing we hear, the permitting approval hasn't happened yet. So, but the next thing we hear is that there is a spill from this non-existing facility.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Wow.
Not only is it technically not existing, it's under a tent because the building it's supposed to go into technically hasn't been built yet.
So
again, they're not permitted, and it gets better. And instead of it being monitored 24/7, it's only monitored briefly during the day. So there was a spill. There was a flaw in whatever the process was for doing this, for filtering it.
Doing this that they don't have a permit to do yet.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make
sure. You can Google this.
Make sure I was correct about
this.
Even
Digger mentioned it. So something that didn't exist spilled 9,000 gallons of leachate. And the story around it, because I have no evidence, and I use the word deliberately because I only know what we are told, and what we're told isn't necessarily what is. What we are told is that magically it was corralled at the perimeter of the landfill site. You know, do you ever remember hearing a story about a king called Canute who commanded the waves to go back?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think it's sort of something like that. They must have commanded the leachate to stop at the gate.
And it, miraculously,
of course it did. Now, clearly I'm being flippant here.
I know.
But it's really disturbing. It is really disturbing that this entity, it's only a pilot program, that this pilot program, which is not fully permitted, is already operational. It is disturbing that it's not operational under a tent. It is disturbing that it's not fully staffed and that it already broke down.
Well, what do they mean by pilot program? Do they have any authority to be doing what they're doing at all?
Well, that depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
We oppose the pilot program being there, and we're not saying there shouldn't be a pilot program. We're saying it should not be at the landfill because the risk to our environment is too great. Mm-hmm. There's too much water around there, and part of the reason I got involved in all of this is I'm a water warrior. The scarcest resource we have on the planet is water.
And the most valuable.
If we don't have clean, drinkable water, we're all dead.
That's true.
It's that basic. And I've lived in places where water has been scarce. And when I first came to the States, I was appalled at how casually it's treated.
Yeah.
It's insane. And now, of course, we've conned people into thinking tap water in communities is not safe. So therefore, you're supposed to buy little bottles of water in plastic containers and chug umpteen of them a day. While plastic containers leach chemicals into that water.
Yeah.
You're far better off drinking the water from your community, piped water.
I do think that's turning around.
It's got a long ways to go.
Yeah, it does. But I think people are becoming a lot more conscious than they used to be.
I don't think that's good enough, frankly.
Well, yeah.
Where do you think that water comes from that's put into the little bottles?
Oh, who knows? I mean,
well, you can find out. And where some of it comes from is communities in places like California, where water's scarce anyway, and it's being stolen, basically, by companies like Nestle.
Wow. Yeah.
Who are taking it from those who need it to make money off it, and they're not paying for the privilege.
Yeah, and why?
Why? Because they're a corporation.
Yeah.
Haven't you noticed the world is designed for corporations?
I do want to go back to the logistics for 1 minute because it's so bizarrely insane. Well, this whole conversation kicked off with me saying how they get all the garbage in the sea goes to Coventry. But then when it, then there are wastewater treatment facilities in different parts of the state, correct?
Absolutely, because all of the waste from every community has to go somewhere.
But what I,
so
I might have
your
this
shower, one. Your toilet, that wastewater, that solid waste and the liquid waste have to go somewhere. They, every community has a treatment facility.
Yeah, maybe.
Where it is supposed to treat. By treat, they mean move the, remove the nasty stuff and then pretend that the rest of it is pristine and can be released usually into a body of water, like a river or another lake. But of course, they don't know what they have left in there. The pharmaceutical products, for example, that we are prescribed, we ingest, we excrete via our urine and feces, that goes into the system. We have no way of knowing if that's filtered out. It frequently isn't, and facilities have tested. Bodies of water have been tested. We see in creatures who live in our lakes evidence to support that endocrine boosting, endocrine changing chemicals are in the water. We're seeing marine life with ambiguous genitalia, for example. We're seeing...
What is ambiguous genitalia? What do you mean by that?
That there are creatures that were biologically previously clearly male or female are now hermaphroditic or have other changes. There are endocrine disrupting hormones that go into the water. The little creatures, the plankton that absorb it first, then get eaten by the fish, there are all kinds of changes. In Lake Memphremagog, for example, we have a particular kind of trout that is covered with tumors, malignant tumors, melanomas.
Oh, that's so sad.
They are environmentally caused. There are only a couple of places in the country where this particular tumor grows. They can't prove what's causing it, but it's real. And you can go online. There are lots of photographs, and they're really ugly tumors.
Well, what are the other options?
It's killing the fish, and then we eat the fish.
Yeah, yeah. What are the other options that they're saying? If they don't think it's the leachate doing it, what could it be? What else could it be? Do they?
Well, it could be other chemicals coming off the land, or it could have been stuff that gets pesticides getting sprayed in the environment. Mm. So it's really hard to say that it's only chemicals from the landfill.
Yeah.
Because there's a railroad, an old railroad that goes by there, and the chemicals, the tars that were put on some of the railroad ties historically were really toxic, the creosote. But there's a lot of studying of that happening, but there's never been an advisory to tell people not to eat them, eat the fish. So there are some fish advisories where mercury raining down from the sky has caused fish advisories. So pregnant women, for example, are advised not to eat, quote, fresh caught fish because of the mercury content.
Yeah.
We're not even testing for anything else.
So maybe I have this wrong, but my understanding was that some of the leachates that are coming off the Coventry landfill then get trucked to some of these other wastewater facilities in other areas. Is that correct?
Plattsburgh and Montpelier.
So they truck all the garbage up to Coventry.
Yes.
They let it leach, and then they take that waste and they truck it back to the other places that they...
This is true. And it's not that they, quote, let it leach. That's an inevitable part of a landfill. There's no choice about that. If you live in an environment where it rains, that's going to happen. If you have garbage in there that's going to rot down, then that is going to happen. If you allow toxic material into your landfill, that's going to happen. And the black plastic bags that we use are toxic material, never mind what else went in them. The furniture that goes in, the mattresses that have been treated, the clothing, we're poisoning ourselves here.
Yeah, and we're such a disposable society.
We've been suckered into that because it makes money for corporations, as opposed to looking, is this good for the planet? Is this good for us?
Yeah.
We're crazy doing that. We really are. And the agency that is tasked with protecting us, the Agency of Natural Resources, is not.
Yeah.
Leaving the one landfill in the state is not a solution for this. We have asked repeatedly for other solutions, for other landfills, rather than damaging our roads and risking our water. Where else can they go?
So one of the solutions is to go back to where each community had their own landfill. Is that right?
Well, it's not a solution. What it would be a way of making people wake up. It would be a way of saying, you're creating this problem, now solve it. Do you really need to waste as much as you do? Do you really need to have all your meals using disposable plastic junk? Do you really need to have, do you have to live the throwaway life? Because as long as people just fill a bag, toss it outside their door, and move on, it doesn't even register.
Yeah, you know, that's such a good point. If there was a community landfill and you could take your kids by it and say, hey, here's where your garbage goes, and they could see it for themselves,
exactly.
It might really make a difference.
But we don't repair, we don't reuse, we don't recycle, we don't repurpose, because it's so much cheaper to buy something new.
Yeah.
We think. But it's not, because the price is kicking the can down the road, and that we've caught up with that can.
Yeah. And you said Coventry, the reason the dump was allowed to thrive there is because of there's no zoning?
That was how it started, and there's still no zoning there.
And the community, I mean, the representatives and the politicians in the community, do they, what's their position on it?
They probably are, well, they are fully in support of it, because it brings a massive amount of money to the community. They pay a lot of money to be there.
Yeah. Did I read that they have zero property taxes in Coventry?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. So they have zero property taxes because of the landfill?
Yes.
So you can buy a house in Coventry and have no property tax?
Currently.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no wonder they're not fighting it. That's a pretty big incentive.
And because they're not really downwind. They don't get the smell. We get that.
We meaning?
Newport.
Oh, Newport.
I live
okay.
in Newport.
I see. Okay.
And we have this glorious view of Mount Trashmore. It's hideous.
So you live
and
in New...
We get the odors. The odors are awful. And again, I'm not faulting the landfill for this, because they actually do try. We have a system where when we smell it, we report it. Hopefully somebody else comes and smells it and can figure out exactly what it is and which part of the landfill it's coming from. This part of the system doesn't work real well. But they are responsive. But it doesn't get fixed, because smells, odors are inevitable. You can't change that. As stuff is rotting, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. I'm guessing, too, to have one location for the entire state, and from what I was reading, there's a couple of other, they bring it from out of state, too? yes. to Coventry from like New Hampshire?
Because the company is permitted for a specific amount each year. And as we, the citizens, become more conscious and repurpose, recycle, reuse, etc., we waste less, which means that we are putting less into the landfill. But the first responsibility of a landfill, a corporation, is to its shareholders. So their goal is to make money. So they bring in waste from other places till they reach the permitted amount. Because that's what corporations do.
Yeah, I get it, though, because people started recycling and not throwing away as much garbage, that allowed them to collect from other states because they weren't up to their limit. But
when we first started raising big flags, one of the things we were told by the senior officials at the state was, well, if you all just became responsible citizens, recycled, repurposed, blah, 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 the problem would be solved. Well, the problem isn't solved, and they knew that at the time. So we listened to all this and did our best, and the company goes around the schools preaching recycling.
That
but that
so
doesn't
ironic.
Change anything, because it just means they can bring in more. And there's no reason for the state to dislike that, because they get tax money. The state makes a lot of money from the landfill.
I bet. But I'm wondering, I'm guessing, that to have one huge facility like that creates a more toxic environment than if there were...
Yes, we agree.
It doesn't make sense on any level to me.
It just does for the state, because it's easy. And they have a company that works with them. They have this cooperative relationship, which is highly questionable because we see it as a conflict of interests, but they work well together. And they don't have to then permit many smaller facilities.
Oh, is that where the common sense thing? I can't quite, because the state would get the same amount of money because it would be the same amount of garbage, just in smaller
different places. It would be far more work for them.
Really? Because they wouldn't... I guess it would be. So it's easier and less expensive to truck the stuff 200 miles from Bennington up to Coventry.
Well, it's not less expensive. I mean, if Bennington had a landfill nearby, it would cost less to get it there.
Right. That's my point. So it seems like they would save money. The state would get the same amount of money. They would save money. So why not do it? But...
Well, because if somebody comes to you, you live in where?
I live in Fayston.
Okay. So if somebody comes to you and says, we need our own landfill, we will open it just off Main Street, what would your response be?
Well, I'm a little off kilter, so I'd probably... I mean, your garbage has to go somewhere, so I would think about... Well, yeah, I guess we have to do something with it. And if I didn't want on a main street, I think what you need to do is get the town together and say, hey, what are we going to do with our garbage? We're not going to give it to the town next to us, because that's not really a solution. So what is the solution? You know what I mean?
What you would get is every little NIMBY possible saying, not next to me. I don't want my kids poisoned. I don't want my water risked. I've got a well. What would the risk be to the well?
Yeah,
but
I guess the question is, well, where do you think it's going to go? I mean, what is the solution?
Right.
It's a tough one.
And it would be wonderful if we could burn it, but we can't, because that creates another kind of pollution.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, this is really between a rock and a hard place, because
unfortunately, we're right between that rock and the hard place. And frankly, we've had more than enough.
Yeah.
What is interesting is the landfill is right next to the airport. We have a small airport. Yeah. But our airport is expanding. It's growing and expanding, which is really exciting. I mean, we're happy about that.
Is that due to tourism or...
Yeah, in business, because we're right next to the border, and there are ways in which people can fly in and go to Jay Peak or to some of the other areas, and there are business opportunities. We're pretty, it's not that far by road to Boston, 3 hours, as opposed to doing it a more complicated way. So there are good reasons to grow our airport.
Yeah.
But it's right next to the landfill.
Not a very good
and
welcoming site, is it?
We know that the area can't go any higher because that would interfere with flight paths. So how they're going to figure that out is anybody's guess.
Well, from my understanding is they're applying to increase the size of the landfill now. Is that right?
That may or may not be true. There's still a cell that hasn't been fully worked, so they don't have to increase the size. If they try to increase the size, again, we will protest it, because it would have to go into the wetlands, and that would be even more insane.
Yeah, and the wetlands are right surrounding the landfill, correct?
They are.
And the lake is right there.
Why putting it there in the first place made no sense. If they had tried to open a landfill in that location currently, it would never have been permitted.
Really?
Right. But when it happened, there was already a small privately owned dump there, an unlined one. So they just built onto that.
And I guess now it's sort of grandfathered in, so if they need to renew the permit, it's just based on the original one?
Well, I don't think they can do that, because if they really want to expand, they're going to have to look at other ways of doing that. But do you really want that, right? Is that going to be your entry to the country or to the neighborhood?
Yeah, and in a sense it is. I mean, you're right on the border.
Yes, we are.
What do the Canadians say?
They're really concerned, because they know that this is an international body of water. They know that it's their water that is at high risk of being contaminated, poisoned. That's against the international treaty.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to stop it if it hasn't happened. So you punish for prevention.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, you're saying the lake is getting polluted from the landfill, right?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, sorry.
I said that the lake has a lot of issues. We already know that. Mm-hmm. But we would have to prove that the contamination came from there. We know it didn't all come from there, because there's certainly other ways in which that water can be polluted.
So as of right now, there haven't been any studies that confirm that the landfill
is... We have had studies that confirm the presence of PFAS in the water. It came from somewhere. But you can never prove exactly where it came from.
Hmm.
We're much more concerned about the precautionary principle, which is you don't risk your greatest resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I was just thinking from...
We should all be living by the precautionary principle for everything.
Yeah, yeah, we should. That would solve the problem. It's just...
Yes. Well, no, we're stuck with the problem as it is for the foreseeable future, at least the next 30 years. If they stopped using the landfill right now, we're still stuck with it for at least the next 30 years. It will still be draining leachate.
Hmm. And as far as...
This isn't over until it's so far over that it's long after we've all expired.
Yeah.
Future generations have to deal with this.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as you know, the people who are involved in trying to find another solution, have they come up with anything that could be a viable solution?
There are some kinds of incinerators that seem to burn at a high enough temperature, but there's still more studies that would need to be done then. There are, I mean, the viable solutions are about wasting less.
Yeah.
But we're a long way off then. And even then, there will always be some stuff.
Yeah. And I guess, again, like you said, the problem is you get Vermonters to waste less. And then right. the company's trucking more garbage in because they have a permit for that much. I mean, yes. that's like crazy.
Yes. Welcome to our world up here.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should. It is, to me, when I was first talking to you, I'm thinking, well, the radio station's in Warren. We're in the Mad River Valley, and mm-hmm. this kind of is a problem up there. But it isn't. It's a state problem.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah.
something all of us really do need to...
National problem, and it's an international problem, because we've had one of the ways we've handled waste in this country is by shipping it overseas.
That's right, yeah.
Floating barges out into the middle of nowhere,
yeah.
filled with tons of the stuff. That's not a solution.
No.
Shipping it to third world countries, paying them peanuts, and then saying... You take care of it, knowing that they can't.
Yeah, and we don't have to look at it.
Right.
And I've read in the past, I think the United States creates more garbage per capita than any other country in the world.
Oh, we're encouraged to waste.
Yeah, yeah.
We're encouraged, throw it out. I mean, let's import cheap clothing from a variety of different countries where we know we're exploiting the people who make it.
Yeah.
Subjecting them to harm because they're handling contaminated with chemicals products so that we can buy them and waste them. I mean, take a trip into the dollar store and look at the plastic junk there that will fall apart in 10 minutes. Okay, it was cheap. I can just toss it in the landfill.
Yeah.
Or I can toss it into my black plastic bag. And somebody else will toss it in the landfill.
Yeah, you know.
What kind of attitude is that?
Yeah, yeah, we really
do. Did you ever watch The Story of Stuff?
Stuff, no.
Google it. It's a video that, or go to YouTube. It's a video that was put together years ago, but it's still so valid. And there are several others on similar lines. This is how it gets created. I mean, what are we doing with all of the old solar panels? What are we doing with all of the electronics? What are we doing when we're encouraged to buy a bigger and better phone? Because, you mm-hmm. know, if you don't have an iPhone with all of the bells and whistles, then really that's a statement about you as a human.
Yeah, that's
really,
true,
you're not worth
it?
Much. And we buy into this
I know,
garbage.
We do.
More
we
garbage.
Do.
But what do we think happens to all of those pieces of equipment? What about the burner phones that we're just encouraged to buy and toss? Oh, you're
yeah.
traveling. Just take a burner phone with you.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good idea. Not.
But we are okay. You know, the grocery stores can't have plastic bags. But that was education.
Well, they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. But my point is, that was education, getting people used to it. So now everybody...
Yeah.
I wasn't...
Actually, that was kids. Kids did brought that change.
You think?
Yeah, I know. A lot of the... Certainly up here, a lot of the kids, 6th, 7th, 8th grade kids and less, mm-hmm. got interested. Obviously, somebody at the schools got their attention. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones who put together a little campaign up here. It worked.
That's great. No,
it's
I didn't
really
know
hard
that,
to yeah. look your kids in the eye and say, oh, I'm sorry. My need to continue to pollute the planet, the one I'm destroying for you in the future, is greater than your need to stop me.
Yeah.
So, no, kids were amazing.
I think what else helped, though, was the state having this 10 cents a bag charge. It's 10 cents. I mean, people drop a dime and not even want to stoop down and pick it up. But when they know
right.
they have to pay 10 cents extra in the grocery line, they think, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring my bag next time so I have to pay the 10 cents. I really
yeah,
do
but
think
you
that
know,
helped.
We paid that before. We just didn't know it.
Yeah, right. But, you know, it's just...
It was built into the system.
Yeah, yeah.
For a while, if we brought bags, they would take 3 cents off for every bag we brought.
Yeah. But people...
With such, We're such suckers. We really are.
But now it's almost like a status thing. You know, if you're at the store and you forgot your bag, you almost want to hide under the counter because, oh my God, right. I have to get a bag. I'm going to be persona non grata now.
Well, you are. You should be.
Yeah.
We all should be.
You should be, but you think nothing of buying prepackaged food that comes in three different plastic wrappers.
I know.
That's acceptable. That's okay. But you can't put that in a plastic bag. You have to put that in a paper bag. You know what I mean? It's kind of just perception and education. I think it's getting people educated to waste less. You know, all around, waste less. But the bags are a start, so.
Yeah. We're crazy.
Okay. You know what? We can leave on that note. We're crazy. But
clinical diagnosis, yeah. We are all crazy.
And probably,
but I really hope that we wake up and change what's happening, what we're leaving for the next generation.
Yeah.
And the generation after that is awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, it's before you go, I just want you to give out some website or the Facebook page for where people could go for information.
Go look at Dump. Dump is Don't Undermine Lake Memphremagog.
Okay.
Purity. Don't undermine Memphremagog's purity. It's okay. The organization up here, and as I say, I'm not a key member of that group, but obviously I'm involved in it. We have another one called Friends of Lake Memphremagog. Dump's website, which is www.nolakedump, or one word, .com, is really worth looking at. There is so much information there. And some of it, honestly, will make your hair stand on end.
Yeah, I was looking at it in preparation for our discussion, and it does.
The photograph that's there of Mount Trashmore that you see from the Long Bridge in Newport, I mean, it looks like a ski mountain.
It does.
Well, it's not.
And it's just a mountain of garbage, and it's right there.
Yes,
right there at the lake. It's crazy.
And there's another point in Newport, which anybody who wants to come, we're happy to show you it. The view is frightening. Yeah. And that's everybody's garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Pam. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us and for all you're doing, all your efforts. I know it's all volunteer.
It's really important, though. It's obviously important to me personally. And, you know, we can't survive without water. That's the bottom line.
Right, right. It's the number one resource. It's most important.
Yes, and we waste it.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk again.
And you too.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the 5-8 show. And I'm going to turn you over to Hal until Gary Jackson comes in at 2 p.m. And he has the weekend warm-up show that's always great. And tomorrow morning is LJ Fontana, and he has some really good music. He plays some really good music. There's some great shows all week. I hope you get a chance to listen. I hope everybody has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And I will see you next week.